You'd be able to see through the candle, like, you could use a tonic.
Andy, if you don't show up, we're gonna knock you off the Zoom. Just letting you know right now. Did he knock off?
Where is he?
Do you see him? Is he on the side of the Beish Kodesh?
Where's Ari going? Shabbos. Where's Ari?
Ari, where are you going? Ari, it's Shabbos Hanukkah. You belong over here. Where are you driving?
Spoke about that.
We can't hear you.
He's embarrassed.
It's getting cold outside. Settle off.
That's all we have here is love.
Don't scare me.
Right. And a little bit.
Where are you going? You're so far.
Because I will stick. It's fine.
No. It doesn't work that way. No. We live in the hug.
That's just what you were speaking about is more like of a hasaga of Ner Chanukah, but there's something about Ner Chanukah, which is Ner Chanukah is the or of Tainug itself. You know, we say Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. So the Sfarim all say that the Schar of the Mitzvah is the Mitzvah. So this is difficult to understand. What does it mean Schar of the Mitzvah is the Mitzvah? Schar of the Mitzvah is Olam Haba. So we say no, the Schar of the Mitzvah is the Mitzvah itself. But what's the Mitzvah? Ner Mitzvah V'Tar Or. The chiddush of Ner Chanukah is that when we talk about Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, the Schar of the Mitzvah is Ner Chanukah. And so what we are lighting, normally it goes like this. When we light, there's a gap between the Asiyas HaMitzvah and the Schar of the next world. The light of Chanukah is the Mamutza between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Schar.
The whole year.
Everything. Every Mitzvah.
Because the Arganus.
Because that's
it. That's really what we're after.
Normally there's a Maisa Mitzvah and then there's the Or HaGanus, which is the Schar of the Mitzvah. But here, the Maisa Mitzvah itself is the Or HaGanus. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's the last Mitzvah which was ever given. It's the 620th Mitzvah, because there's 630 Mitzvahs Daraisa, 7 Mitzvahs Darbanan. This is the Keser Mitzvah, Gematria 620. And the reason why it's Keser is because we know that Keser defies Hashtalshlus. Keser is considered to be Lamala. When we talk about Sfiris, we don't usually include Keser because Sfiris implied that there's a Hishtalshalus from Chasma to Bina to Das to Chesed. Keser is Lamala Mizeh. The Keser of every single Olam is considered to be higher than the Seder of Hishtalshalus. So Chanukah is considered to be higher than Hishtalshalus because Chanukah, in order to get from point A to point Z, you have to go through Hishtalshalus. But Chanukah just goes and it overrides everything. And we could do the Maisa Mitzvah, which is light years away from where the Schar comes from. We could be all the way down here in the Tachtes Olam Hasiya and have the Or from Rum HaMailas. Like only be because Keser, which is near Chanukah, is able to just jump over all those things, so that the Maisa Mitzvah and the Schar of the Mitzvah is built into one, that's called Ner Mitzvah, the Torah Or. Hence, when the Mishnah says Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, it's not just that the Schar of the Mitzvah is the Mitzvah itself, the Schar of the Mitzvah is Mitzvah. What is Mitzvah? Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is the Mitzvah that the Mishnah is referring to. Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. But you know that nowhere in the Mishnayos does it talk about Ner Chanukah. Except one place, which is what's mentioned in the sugya of Chanukah, which the Rebbe spoke about the other night, which is the Mishnah Bab Kama, which says that a person, see, we start to talk about this and the memory is full.
And
wow.
Ready to roll. We just wasted it on that.
Yeah.
We had one to use today and I got a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. There you go. And now that's on top of that, I forgot what we were talking about, so let's forget about it. I don't know where we were anymore. In the Mishnayos, there's no place other than Rabbi Huda says that if you put a Ner Chanukah out and the person, the hezek comes from a Ner Chanukah, so you're pater. But other than that, the Kedushas Levi says that Chanukah is not mentioned in Mishnayos, it's only mentioned in Brises. Because it goes lachutz, and Brises is a lashon chutz. Ner Chanukah goes lachutz. So that's why, even in this Mishnah, it says Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, it doesn't say Ner Chanukah. Because you don't talk about Ner Chanukah in the Mishnayos. It's considered to be an or which is ganus. And it's Nisgala and the Brises. That's two ways to look at it, really. The way that the Kedusha Sevi looks at it is that it's mentioned in the Brises and not in the Mishnayos because it's Tevis to go Lachotz and Brises means Lachotz. The other way to say it is like this, that it's not mentioned in the Mishnayos, only in the Brises because it's Or HaGanus. And it's not mentioned openly in the Mishnayos because it would be like revealing the Or HaGanus. What's a Masechta? Masechta is Chanukah, like there's a Masechta Megillah?
There's a Masechta for Chanukah. There's a Megillah's Chanukah.
Right.
It's not even mentioned in there.
No. It's bad.
Which is crazy, if you think about it.
This what's big, not mentioned in there?
I don't think candles are mentioned.
The candles may not be mentioned. The mitzvah is not mentioned. It could be that it... Does it mention the Pach? Does it mention it at all?
I don't think so.
I didn't check.
I just got the question this week from someone.
No, it's mentioned in Alamitsa.
Right. It's not mentioned at all. You think like you would think in the Megillah of Chanukah, they would say this mitzvah, it's mamish the war. Mm. I don't know because somebody asked the question this week about it, and I don't have an answer.
It doesn't mention the fact that they found it. It mentions the fact that we light mirrors, though. Right. Who brought these? Chaim? Send it out.
Chaim has been providing food for us every single time.
Kalem.
He's the man of sweetness.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shaachem
Adonai.
They asked me. I got a question. Someone said that they thought this the whole Hanukkah thing, was all made up because they went and looked at the entire Megillah, and they said it's not there at all.
And they didn't look at the Gemara apparently.
No. She's not meaning they had the Megillah, and they said if it would have been such a big deal that they had this huge miracle, like it would have been written somewhere.
So
I said it was hidden in the Migdash. I don't know if it was.
It's in the Gemara.
Right.
Okay, so where are we holding?
Okay. Professional daveners. We're professional daveners. Right?
Can you report on how the week was?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
It's a real chabur now.
It's
like a real vod.
By the way, you Hasidish guys don't know how to do it. Litzvox know how to do a
vod. Vod, right. That's true. We'll give that to you.
Sure.
So I'll tell you first. So I was able most days, Shachris and Mincha, to get there enough time to say 5-10 minutes ago.
Right.
And in fact, one day Mincha, I missed my usual minyan because I was ready to get there at the normal time. It was an early, so I found it
late.
But the days that one or two other times, like Marvet wasn't able to, and one day Mincha, I wasn't able to do it. And I'm not sure what it is.
Awkward.
Well, awkward, I guess, because I'm like trying to do a certain things. Like now, I'm doubting I didn't get to, do what I did the right way, sort of like the best way to do it. So now it felt like a little bit of the doubting itself was. I don't know why. It just felt like a little bit strange.
You know why?
Well, I know, but the problem becomes, doesn't that set you up in a little bit of a problem? Because I don't think it's necessarily going
to
be shy.
You're being maschil in a certain project. So, I mean, once you get to a madriga, Mitzvah Shem, where it becomes that it's, right now you're using your tehillim as your anchor for your tefillah, because you're trying to readjust and to shift your perspective and your mahalach and davening, and you're kind of putting that onto tehillim so that davening can be different. So you're in the process of unloading, but as soon as you've unloaded everything, so then you'll feel that the davening has a certain mahalach now, which will become natural to you like it was previously.
Even in times like don't.
Yeah, absolutely, because that'll just be how you do it. It'll become second nature to you.
I'll tell you what was unique for me this week, is that usually davening feels like something that I need. I hope this is good. let me preface with that. Usually I feel like I need it. So like, let's assume you do like a Mincha Marav, and like you're halfway through Mincha, and like you're nowhere. I don't know if you ever felt this before. And you're like, I'll just make it back up in Marav. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever like, I don't know if you ever felt this before. Like, you ever like go through Shmon Esrei, and like you're mid-Shmon Esrei, and you're not really there. There's another one coming. So you're like, I'll get what I need. Like, I'm good. Like, there's a lot of tefillah coming left. I felt a little bit differently, and I'll tell you what I felt. I felt when you have to ask for things like the Yichud Hashem and the Shechina, and you feel like you're not asking for yourself, so like you have work to be done that's outside you. Like, it's not about whether or not like you're getting what you need. It's about whether or not you're doing your job. Like, we have a job. Like, a couple of times this week, like that flashed in front of me. Like, we have a job. Like, we're Jews. We're taught how to daven, and God's like, go work every day. And here's what you've got to do every day. Gotta bring geula. So like, show up. Stand. I don't know if this is right or not. Stand where you're supposed to be, and like, daven for it. Forget you. You're like the guys that were like laying the railroad in the beginning of the railroad. Like, you just lay the tracks. At some point, there's going to be a train. And you knew that, like, you know, from mile 26 to mile 32 in Pennsylvania, those are my tracks. So that's what I was thinking, like, this is what you got to do. So, like, go.
Yeah, it's great. So we spoke about that last week. We created a certain sewer of davening where we think that it's acceptable to daven for ourselves. And perhaps that's maybe true al pi niglas haTorah, but al pi pnimas haTorah, it's not at all true. It's not at all true. Tefillah has a certain sinar. Tefillah has a certain surah, and that's the daven for the Shekhinah. You know, the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, it doesn't seem like they agreed on a lot of things, right? But they both say the same word. So one of the animamins is, animam in b'muna shleima, it's not the one you're thinking about, so don't even try. One second. Animam in b'muna shleima, sheboy yisparach, hu levadai roi lehispalo, ve'ein roi lehispalo lezulasa. It's one of the least known animamins, because there's no song about it. Animamim, but there should be. Animam in b'muna shleima, sheboy yisparach shemaya, hu levadai roi lehispalo. Touch those words. Who levada royally spala?
He's the only one roy to daven for.
The ain royally spala the zulasa.
Nothing else is roy to daven
for. So we only daven to Hashem. We don't daven to other gods. This is not the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon teach us. You see it coming?
Yeah.
There's nobody else
to him. For him.
For him. The ain royally spala zulasa. It's one of the animamins.
Well, that's the Nefesh Chaim, I think, that when you daven, you shouldn't be thinking about the gashmius thing. You should be davening for Shekhinah. I think he writes it actually another time.
Yeah, of course he does. Yeah.
I was thinking about it this week. Something that Charlie just said, and this is going to sound controversial. In Panemius, is there an idea of not davening and Chamayot back to back for this reason?
Of course.
Because we all do it out of convenience. Well, it's not just
absolutely, yeah. It's an halacha, yeah.
Nigla, it's not just either.
Absolutely. It's a very big shaila in halacha, whether or not. Somebody asked with Chaim Kinevsky a question. This is just his take on it. Somebody said, so it was like, if you daven like Mincha Mar back to back, like da da da. He wrote back, Asr Lassos came.
I just tried to fit in my mind and just focus on the words. And just let my neshama do the rest of it. I mean, instead of saying, I want this, I need this, I'm not thinking about everything else. I'm going to focus on the words of the Shema Esrei.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Words and let whatever needs to take place, let that do its work.
That's not simple.
It's very hard.
Now I'm saying, like, even once you get this, the whole thing's not simple.
Right, my point is just to focus on the word without having any, without thinking about it myself.
About yourself.
Just to focus on the words, Baruch Hu, Seinu, whatever that means.
So if you're going to do that, which is a very good move, which is an excellent move, because that's really what the Baal Shem Tov has a whole derech and tefillah, which we're talking about it, the Klalias, but we're not talking about it, the Pratias. But the Baal Shem Tov in Ala Torah, Parshas Noach, and since then there have been many Likutim from at least two, I'm thinking of maybe three, about from the Baal Shem Tov, where you can't organize a sefer about the collected Vort Lecha of the Baal Shem Tov without talking about tefillah, having a very Mechubedik chapter about tefillah in it. So, again, we don't have the actual teachings of the Baal Shem Tov other from his Talmidim, but that's as good as him came out. So from him, we have Mahalach and Davening. Mahalach is very similar to what you're talking about. Maybe we could talk about that if that works. It's very close to like what you're describing, like focusing on the words.
What about me focusing on the words?
So what Chaim was doing, correct me if I'm wrong, is like, you know, we have a milchama we wage a milchama during davening versus our thoughts and trying to concentrate on davening. And that's considered to be like the biggest milchama of the day. Is that milchama which takes place in our minds between the seichel and the neshama. Yeah. And one of the reasons why the first thing that we do every day is davening is because as soon as we allow our minds to wander somewhere else, we've already set up their troops on the other side. So the person's like, I'm going to daven at 10 o'clock min shachar so I can make hachanas, and amongst those hachanas, he has to deal with this and deal with that and take a phone call about business, and then he's like, oh, but I have a lot of hachanas. So it's a real cheshbon of yotzei schar b'efseid, because now that that's been crept into my mind, so then it triggers all the other things which need to be done, and now I have this huge war. As opposed to waking up and having an hour hachana, whatever it is, and coming in fresh and clean with it. I didn't allow anything to come in. So ideally, there's something very virtuous about davening early in the morning before the kids wake up and the Rebbetzin wakes up and before the phone calls start coming in and we start to think about other things, because once that happens, then it's just, it pushes a button and then we're on the retreat. However, one of the nice things about davening a little bit later is that there's more time for hachana. So if a person is able to have more time for hachana and at the same time be able to keep a clear mind, so that would be ideal. And a person has to know how much hachana is capable of doing. It gets to a certain point, if a person's not, you know, if he's not, if it's hard, so he may have said the amount of Tillim he's capable of saying, and then he's learned the amount of Torah he's able to say, and he's gone to the mikvah, and he's like, okay, like, give me a sit already, it's time to start davening. He feels like he's maxed out of the hachana time. So if a person has the ability to wake up, let's say, very early, and also daven early, so then Allah has kama b'kama. So if you know that your day gets going at 7:30, that's when, you know, carpal starts, or kids start to wake up, and you're able to daven at 6:45, but still wake up and give yourself an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of achana, then that's great. But a person has to know himself and what he's holding, and to try to work out the schedule in a way that he's balancing the amount of achana he's capable of doing, and also when the chitzonius day begins, and to try to position the davening in a place where not allowing the chitzonius into before davening. That's why we're not allowed to eat before davening, because we're not allowed to eat because it gives the guf its shtaltz, and then it becomes very hard for the neshama to wage war against the guf because the guf feels like he's a bar gavra already. And the same thing is true with that's just a dugma, which is a din, but it's from there comes all the other dinim, which Chazal talk about in halacha, which is what to do and what not to do before davening. And the klal is this, is that if it gives the guf or the seichel haguf a certain presence, which is like, I have to now contend with that, you know, who asked you to do that? Now the neshama has to make a war against that. So that's bechlal, like the seichel al adam. It's like something which should be scratched before coming into davening. It's a general klal. So let's go to the Mahalach of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov taught that the osios in the Siddur are not just words, not letters. They are hechalos. They're chambers. The chambers for what he calls halakus, neshamas, and olamas. All these three things are contained within the words, the letters of davening. And a person should see the letters as being hechalos, as chambers. Each letter is a world. Like Aleph is a world. Beis is a world. And a person is actually looking for entry, for a shus, to enter into the osios of davening. It's very deep, the whole inyan. But Bashemtev taught that a person is not looking to go into the Olamos, he's looking to go into the osios. Yeah, I always remind myself of, not always, but just now, sometimes also. you have to pardon me, ever since I started to get to know Shaul a little bit, so he's brought me into Mishalom from the Chitzonius world. So I hope it's a toiva, it's not. I hope it helps you.
I hope so too. I'm going to pay for that. It's not done intentionally.
I'm hoping that it's an excuse for Pnimius to go into Chitzonius, because before that, I never thought of Mishalom outside of it. So it goes like this.
It goes.
So, you know, in Mary Poppins. You know,
Mary Poppins. You can't connect it to Mary Poppins.
That's all I remember. That was the last.
Mary Poppins. Yeah, that's the funniest line I have ever heard. Charlie taught me about
how you connected me to Mary Poppins. Is
yeah, from Tom Brady to Mary Poppins.
Right, that should be the title of this whole world.
Yeah. So I think this is true. It was many, many years ago. But isn't there something that they write something on the sidewalk and then they jump into the...
Yeah.
They jump in, right?
I don't even know.
Oh, they jump into the picture?
Oh, come on.
I jump into the picture.
Yeah, you jump into the picture. That's what it is. Like, there's these letters on the page. And just the way that it is that you see yourself jumping into the OCS. That's what it is. You're jumping into the page. The more modern way of that would be like Super Why. My kids watch Super Why. Really, some of them watch it. Super Why is like you jump into the book, right? You jump into the book. It's not like they're coming to explain. They're reading the book. They jump into the book. That's what it is. You're jumping into the Siddur. And it's not like you're reading the words. Like the person goes into it and he's like toivel in it. And he's in it. And that's where he finds everything that the Sfarim HaKadoshim talk about. Into the words. Nacham, you look confused. Does that sound...
No?
It makes sense?
It makes sense.
Oh, wow.
But what do you do when you're in there?
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to ask, how do you get in there?
It's Mary Poppins.
You get in first.
Yeah, I was wondering, how do you get in? You sound like you're ready, Menachem. How'd you get in?
You jumped in.
Yeah. I guess so. That's the answer. You jumped in. Yeah. Yeah. Jumping in. So obviously it's a bechina, which is neshamadik. That's what it means to go in. And, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. We love you anytime you come, man.
We're just talking about Mary Poppins before you came. It's a neshama dika thing. We're explaining the derech of the Baal Shem Tov in davening is that the words on the page he calls hechalos, and instead of a person thinking that when he's holding a siddur that he's got to go up there, so the word is they got to go in there, got to go into the osios. I once asked my rebbe the following question. I said, Rebbe, how come you know when a lot of people daven? You've never seen the Rebbe daven, so when the way that the Rebbe davens is that he's very glued to the page, and there's never any motions like this or anything going on like that. Nothing like that. There's no hands going up. There's no, very, rap shits a little bit by now. You know, that's not the mahalach of that. Everything is very concealed. Everything looks very normal. But there's nothing. There's never even a highs go up. Never ever. So he said. So I said, why not? Like it's so like it seems like not natural. So he said. He says, because my dvikas is in the osios. That's what he said. My avod is in the osios. Guys, the classic Rebbe, he sells you one line and he means like a whole chapter in the Torah of Baal Shem. But I wasn't going to get that from him. I wasn't going to get anything else. Yeah, my avod is in the osios. So when a person sees that the avod is in the osios, then he's glued to the sitter. He's glued to the page. I mean, he's looking to go into those osios. So as opposed to the siddur being a safer where a person is like a roadmap to get somewhere, it's actually the destination is inside those letters. So now, what does the Baal Shem Tov mean by that? You want to take a stab at it?
Well, I mean, we spoke of this again. This is like all Hanukkah.
It is Hanukkah.
The Choshech of Yavne is so powerful because when they translated Torah into Greek, then you're missing all of that. You're missing the Ora Torah if you don't have the Osios. So it seems like the Ora Torah is buried inside. What does that mean? The Ora Torah is buried inside the Osios.
That's
what we're trying to dive in to get.
Exactly. Excellent. That's exactly right. Because the way that the Sfarim HaKadoshim break it down, the Kabbalah break it down, is that there are four parts to every letter, which correspond to four levels of Kedusha. There's the Os itself. There's the Nakudos. There's the Tagin, which is the... and the Taimin, which is the Truff. The Truff. So in a Siddur, you have... Usually, like an article Siddur has the Osios and the Nakudos. Like in a Sefer Torah, you only have the Osios. You don't have the... You have the Osios and the Tagin, but you don't have the Nakudos and the Taimin. In a Siddur, you have the Osios and the Nakudos. We don't have the Tagin and the Taimin. The way that it works is that it's called Tanta. Tes, Nun, Tuf, Aleph, which is an order from higher to low. Tes is Taimin, Nakudos, Tagin, and then Osios. And the way that it works is that the Os is the most Magushim. It's like considered to be like the Asiya, the lowest part of... But it's considered to be the Keli. And the Or HaGonos is buried in this lowest place. I mean, in the Os itself, which is the lowest place, is Taka the place. Who would have thought that the Or HaGonos would be buried out of all these places in the Osios themselves?
Are these parallel to Pardes?
It's parallel to Pardes, yeah. It's parallel to Pardes. Kalis the Shem to the four Osas Yukio. Everything four, it's parallel to that. So, Mamela, that's what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is that you thought that the Or HaGanez was buried somewhere up there. But really, the Or HaGanez is buried. You know where it's buried? Down here. And it's a different perspective what Chanukah is that we don't normally think of Chanukah as that we light the Nair, and that there's a hishtalshalus of, like we said before, like the Or HaGanez, which comes from a so high place, comes all the way down into this world. The other way to say it, which is the more penis way to say it, is that no, it doesn't come from all the way up there. It comes from all the way in here. Because it's buried in the lowest place. That's called Evan Mahasu Abayna Ma'isa Lo Ishpina. Who would have thought that the Arganas would be buried in of all these places in the Os, which is the lowest place?
Has Hashem bring it out, he goes deeper. Has Hashem bring it out, he goes deeper.
What do you mean, how does he bring it out?
It's buried.
Yeah, there's a mitzvah to light. What do you mean?
We bring it out.
But take us through the process of it. Meaning, we can at least visualize the concept of something that are. I know it's not penis is not physical, but it's the concept that something comes down. So it makes sense. Something comes down through the different.
What's the mechanism? Spiritual mechanism which makes it come out.
Yeah.
So the spiritual mechanism that makes it come out is Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh is the secret. When I'm going to Peter Pan, it's the secret
fairy dust,
which allows the osios to come alive, to fly.
The nefesh is mamash the lowest thing, because the nefesh is the lowest.
That's right. So that's why throughout davening, there's always stops along the road of mesiras nefesh, that a person has to have mesiras nefesh. Like the whole seder of davening could be called one long exercise of mesiras nefesh. So Mesiras Nefesh is not something which we want to do b'maisa, something which we want to do b'koyach. And when we do it b'koyach, we're megala the Or HaGanez into, and really the whole yontav of Ner Chanukah is a yontav which is built on Mesiras Nefesh. And that's why it comes out through Ner Chanukah.
Yusuf Zeichain says something interesting though, what you said, which is he says that, I don't know how he connects it, I think from Hod, that it's as if there's a dry river bed. That in order to fill up the river, you have to go to a deeper source. And once you go to the deeper source and you open up that foundation, it flows even more than you had before. That's how I think he explains some of the brachas, I think. If you go to a place and Hashem gives you more, it then fills up, I guess, up the spheros. And that's why in the second bracha, the kavana is to go from Malchus all the way up. Whereas in the first bracha, am I saying this right? The command is to go to. That's what he said. And that I remember that concept, and I was like taken by it, which is what you're saying, which is he creates a paradigm of what you're saying, which is Chanukah is not necessarily top down. Chanukah is actually going to a deeper place,
right.
And when you hit that gusher, right. It overflows.
That's right. That's right. It's called the Keser Malucha, meaning. Say Chanukah is called Keser. The way that you find, since the Keser, yeah, this is something which is a very big yisod. Forget it. The Malchus has a shaychus to the Keser. That's why it's called Keser Malucha. Keser Malucha. So therefore, in the Ost itself, is Nisgala, this great Or. It's like it's buried in this low Magushan place. So what that translates into is the following thing. There's a neshama in the guf. And the guf is like the os, because it's the keli, and the neshama is the or. But the keli itself has an or, because it's like the os. So if a person is able to like excavate his guf and to bring out the real kishkas of the guf, he'll find buried in there an or which will make even the neshama look bleak in comparison to that or. That's what Noam Elimelech said. Halavai people had neshamas as big as my guf, as holy as my guf.
Doesn't that compare to the Chalol and the Rishimu?
Yeah, absolutely. If you really want to tight Chanukah, it's called the Rishimu of the Chalol. That's what Chanukah is all about. Because the Chalol is the guf, and the Kav is the Neshama, and so the Rishimu is the Or of the Chalol. So that the Rishimu, which is why the Pach Shema was like the Rishimu of, even after everything was Tameh, there was still the Rishimu which was left, which wasn't Tameh, that's called the Rishimu of the Chalol. Kamamish should make 1,000 bali tshuva in 1 second with a word like this. But you need to know these yisodas. So we have to make ourselves bali tshuva. That's what I said to the I told the Rebbe. I said to the Rebbe just recently, I said, Rebbe, with a Torah like that, you can make so many Baalei Tshuva. He says, who says we need to make so many Baalei Tshuva? We need to make ourselves Baalei Tshuva.
This also explains a lot of why Chassidish and Maises always have like the guy in the corner. Like now, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's always the guy in the corner that there's always the guy who's drunk that's like Eliyahu HaNavi. Like in Chassidish and Maises, you don't see this in other Maises. Usually the guy is sitting in the front that's Chashuv. But the Chassidim, the beggar, he's the holy guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a constant state of like showing. And even if you give a touch up, even I think maybe Lahavdil, even the story of Mashiach is like that. Like, all the stuff that you don't teach kids. Tamar and Yehuda, you know, Lavan and his daughter, like that, all the stuff that's like really what we would consider in our chitzoni eyes to be the lower part of Torah, so to speak. It's not the Akedah. That's where the Or Mashiach is.
Yeah, of course, that's a big yisoid. Avin Masva Bainim, Yisod Ashpina. In the dirty places, in the Ashba, that's where Hashem hides the diamonds and the garbage. Where else would you hide it? The God is going to find it if you hide it somewhere else. Hide in the garbage, you can't find it. It's Baal Shem Tov's Marshall. That's how the Rebbe was talking about, like, Mahalach Lubavitch. You know, Lubavitch is very much in, like, make Baalei Tshuva. Not everybody, you know, that's a chiddush in the Olam HaChassidus. People think that Chassidus is about making Baalei Tshuva like Chabad, because that's what nobody knows anything other than Chabad. And Chabad, they're a very powerful force. And so Chabad, they're very insistent that not that you become a chassid, then come from, you have to become a Lubavitcher. They feel that the Lubavitch is like the Iker Derech in Chassidus. This is like what we have left from the Baal Shem, which is the Iker Derech, and they're very much into being Makar Yidin to be Lubavitch. Be Lubavitch. Not just to make Yidin, to make from Yidin, to make Lubavitch Yidin. That's very much at odds with the rest of the Derech Chassidus. It's not a representation of the rest of Chassidus. And the rest of Chassidus, they do kirev in a different way. They're not into outreach, they're into inreach. That's why Chassidus, that they don't go onto college campuses and they go out to the moondocks. They want you to come to them, come to Square, come to Borough Park, come to Williamsburg, come in our place, come over here. That's one. Everything is unbefnim. And two, the way that it's done is that in Pinyas, each person within himself is an oilam. So if he's makar of himself and he makes himself to Baal Tshuva, so he's making Baal Tshuva the world because he's being makar of himself. So a person has his responsibility is to work on himself. Chayecha koydim. And through a person's working of himself, he's sincere and he becomes an elevated person. He becomes an ish kadosh. So mamil ho big mibad did the Jew. That's more like the mahalach of the Derech Chassidus, which is the Derech of Yehuda, as opposed to the Derech of Yosef, which is in these parshas, which is Yosef went down to Mitzrayim. Yehuda never left Eretz Yisrael. Even when he came down to Mitzrayim, he never left Eretz Yisrael. Never left Eretz Yisrael, because he paskin on Goshen, that really Goshen is also Eretz Yisrael. L'harvis lefan of Goshen. He went, Yaakov sent down Yehuda before he came there, l'harvis lefan of, as a posek, to paskin that Yaakov shouldn't have to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim, that Goshen should be Eretz Yisrael. Goshen is a b'chin of Eretz Yisrael. Because like we said before, Yosef is very much, they define very tightly, api halacha, api niglas, and chitzonius, what's the borders of Eretz Yisrael, what's not. But in the world of Yehuda, which is the world of Pinyas, so then those gvulos are open to discussion. You start to learn the lundus of it, the ruchnius of it. What is really Eretz Yisrael? It's really bechina of Eretz Yisrael.
So when we go into davening tonight and we're looking at these osios, what's a practical, like, clearly we're not going to go from where we are to where the Baal Shem Tov is, or anyone in between. Like, what's step one in terms of how we can jump into the osios?
So one way to do that is to recognize that this is a process, a never-ending process, and a person has to have tremendous patience in that. But what Chaim did this week is a very clear mahalich from the cheder of the Baal Shem Tov, which is as follows: a person makes a declaration before davening that he's davening for the Shekhinah Tershah. But it's a declaration. It's a commitment. It's not something that he even has to be mindful of the entire time, but it's something that he's going medas. That's really when we say that. But when the this is how you learn it. This is how you learn a kisvit. This is how you learn the Arizal. Not that I know anything about learning the Arizal, but here's how Alpi Chassid is how learn the Arizal. The Arizal says before davening, so to makabel upon yourself the mitzvah of the chokamayich. And he says because you have to be called the tefillas with Baal Kol Yisrael, so that they cannot find the way in Pnimis. What he means to say is that the haftei chokamayich is makabel upon yourself your real friend, which is the Shekhinah. That's like in between the lines of the Arizal. And that takes place before davening. even in the more pnimis to consider, it says that it's harina mekabel la mitzvah ashal b'harav kamech. After you makabel upon itself, which is a declaration that this tefillah amakdish to you, meaning there's a moment for davening that a person is either going to go in mitzvah sanash milamada, or he's going to catch himself and he's going to say, no, I'm doing it different this time. And then he makes a declaration in his heart that this is for the Ribbono Shel Olam, this davening. In which case, he doesn't have to be constantly thinking about it throughout davening because he already gave it over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The avoda after that, lemaisa is to have a clear mind and to focus on the osios. Again, part of it is also knowing, just, we spoke about this many times, a person who's familiar with the davening doesn't have to constantly be teaching the words. I mean, if a person sees Ribbono Shel Olam Rafa, he shouldn't have to be like, heal me Hashem, make us be good. It should be natural. It should be natural that you know what the words mean, and that allows yourself an opportunity to access other parts of yourself where you feel like, you know, you're going in somewhere, like you're going into the osios, like you're it's a hergish hanashama, like it's more like a tefillah, like let me in. It doesn't have to be mamish like you're going into the osios. That's more of a dimyan. It just means it's the Hashem Tov is talking about a musag. And that in these magushim tikkur oisius, that's where a person is going to find the R. So if a person can, the main thing is to keep a very clear consciousness, to have the mind that the mind is fortified, and there's a big shimer on the mind, so that all the things are trying to come in to distract the person from being masik the R, which is nignos in the davening, in the oisius, that they shouldn't be allowed it. Because as soon as a person starts to daven in a way which is pnimius, and he's looking for the etzchaim davening, all the satan will throw out anything possible to distract the person from getting to where he needs to go. That's how it goes. If a person is distracted from the tachlis, the nachash doesn't have to work so hard. But as soon as a person understands that there's a tachlis and he sets his eyes on the tachlis, that's when the nachash gets going. That's what Chazal mean. Kol gadol mechaveiroi, yitzur gadol imenu. What does it mean to be gadol? A person who knows more Torah is gadol than his friend? No. It's very chitzonis. Like I remember when I was in a certain yeshiva, so like it was like muskim, like who the big guys are in yeshiva, right? To me it was totally puzzle. They were clearly not the best guys at yeshiva, just because people thought they knew how to learn the best or hack the best. So one guy in yeshiva that he was a masmid, he was a tzenuin, he davened mamsh, he's still till this day, he's a mamsh, beautiful, beautiful yid. Everything's betznei aleches. Davening, he came early and he davened with such a beautiful, and then he learned how smad and his chazaras. It was obvious who the best guy in yeshiva was, but nobody knew it was the best guy. Everybody had the wrong standard as to what's the best guy. That's usually how it works. In chitzonius, the best is never the best. Whatever they're marketing is the best product, you can be sure that it's not the best. It's not the best. It was the cheapest made, and therefore it's the cheapest buy, but it's certainly not the best quality. You don't get the best for your buck. In Pnimius is always a different standard. This guy was clearly the best. And when it comes to godless and avodas Hashem, is that a person sets his eyes on the tachlis of his life, of the purpose in his life. The person becomes a mesilas Hashem, that he understands chayves adolam ve'alamo, and he sets his eyes and his commitment to be masik that. And as soon as a person does that, if it becomes open that he's one of those people, then the satan has his eyes on him, and then he'll throw anything in his way to distract that person. Because the main thing is that you shouldn't capture the flag. You could be working very hard somewhere else. Man, if all the troops, if the whole team is all the way to the left and the flag is on the right, so then, you know, great. You're very happy that they penetrated and they're all the way over there. You penetrated, but you're in the wrong way. So many people are penetrated into the world of Avodas Hashem, but they're all the way to the left. Or they're all the way to the right. When the Eitz Chaim is in the middle. So that person has to know that, you know, that's what we say many times, that a person knows he's on a good path if he has a lot of minyas in it. Of course, you have to know how to work that too, but it's not always true. But if a person is if he's a person that he could say about himself that he wants to be masik the Eitz Chaim in davening, and every davening is to be masik the Eitz Chaim, so then he needs very strong vulos, not so that things don't come in. Because it's not really what the kavana is. Again, kavana is not what you're thinking during davening. Kavana is a state of mind. It's a state of mind that a person is in. So just because we're going like this more, we're shuckling more, and the hand motions are going more, and we feel like we have more emotion than we really want, and how much can you squeeze out the same emotion? Everybody say, I really want. Really, 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 really. Like, You're just pushing the button the same again, right? Bing, bing, bing. You're not pushing other buttons. You're just pushing the same button. So it could be Abish is like, okay, go weiter, you know, weiter.
There's no weiter. Can I tell you how I'm hearing it? And please allow
me. I'll tell you if you're wrong.
Allow the chitzonius to be broken by the panemius. There's an exercise that I did once before. I think it was with a guy named, I heard it originally from a guy named Daniel something from Eretz Yisrael. He's a teacher in Neve. He had this exercise where he had...
Oh, I know you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? He's like
Bond.
He's a chassidish guy.
Yeah. He's ran to meditation.
Meditation. So he was once giving a talk to a bunch of college kids. And it was very fascinating. He had them stop what they were doing and then focus on the thing that there was in their hand. And he basically showed them that a minute ago... Oh, their watch. That's what he did. He said he had them, if I remember correctly, he had them stop and focus all of their attention on the fact that they were wearing a watch. And showed them that their consciousness basically blinded their ability to experience a watch until they focused on the watch. Right? So you can have a watch and you don't even feel it on your wrist. Do you feel it or don't you feel it? Well, it depends. Not on your watch or your wrist, but on your brain. It's a very powerful, like...
Yeah.
So we're talking about it, I think, after that speech, and we're talking about food. Now, a lot of people don't taste their food. They just, it's like they graze.
Mm-hmm.
And even like foodies are trying to like bring back, because they eat so much food that like now you need to like momish, like take food to like, the, you know, le'elu le'ela. Because stam food, but like if you really speak to any altar Jew, they're happy with like whatever. Because they remember like, you know, never eating. Like you have to, so if you stop and you chew and you swallow and you taste food, you momish get a tremendous amount of power, and then you need less of it. Right, it's a very.
Right.
So I was thinking what you were saying, and tell me if this is just the chitzonius of the panemius here, which is really what I'm hearing you say is just savor the letters. Stop running and stop when you're davening, trying to chop how to like get some. Just stop all that. They're osios there. You know what they mean, for the most part. Slow down, stare at them, and just say them as if you are savoring the fact that you can say those words. And then at our level, like, just let whatever has to happen in Shemayim happen, because anyways you have no idea. No b'derech klal that what you're doing is laying a brick in the railroad of the Shechina, and be excited that if you can just lay two bricks out of a shachris for Geula, that's the most thing we can. Everything the rest of our day is going to pale in comparison if we find that after 120 that we laid one railroad in the Shechina's Malchus, that's more important than the rest of the day. Just know that, begadol. Now you're in the game, say the words, and just savor them.
That's it.
Slowly, benachas. And then you're just everything. And then when you're done, you're done.
That's right. Very good. That's exactly right. That's right. That's also like even like what the tzaddikim did with Yehudim. Like, you can't... When they ate, they were concentrating so intently on their food. They were looking for like the ruchnius within the food. That's what it is. Like, but in order to get there, a person has to be a mensch when he eats. And he's like, okay, there's food in my mouth. And there's a taste. And then you're misbehaving in the taste. Where does the taste come from? It doesn't come from the physical food. It comes from the ruchnius within the food. It's even these exercises in the world are just like a hechatimsa to get to like, okay, now what? Where does that taste come from? Oh, there's a neshama? Because everything in the world is made out of afar. So, like, where does the taste come from? So you could say chemically, biologically, that doesn't do justice, right? Afar is afar. That's something which comes from the ground, which is afar. It's afar, right? It's made out of what? Everything's afar. If a seed is afar, so how does this seed give a taste? When it was a seed, it didn't have taste. But now that it's not a seed anymore, it has taste. Well, no. It's just that when something becomes mature, it gets an asham. It has a ruchnis to it. The Eibusher puts a ruchnis in every single food. That's how the Rizal touches the pasuk. Every single food has a mitzah pi Hashem. It's a davar of Hashem which gives it its life, and that has a chayim, and it has a tainug, and it has a taste to it. Called the tainim. Right? The tainim is the highest part of the os, which is higher than the os, which is like the trop, which is what makes the leaning beautiful and tasty, is because there's a trop to it. That's called the tainim. And that's connected to the sod of it. That's considered to be like where the or is. That's where the yatzilus is. And it... There's a back door into the world of Asiya. There's a back door into the lower world. That's exactly what it is. It's an exercise in, very good, it's savoring the letters and knowing that there's an orbit, there's a treasure. There's a treasure. Every word is a treasure.
So far, only one person took the Rukhaniya side of those Ragla.
Oh, really? I'll take one.
Too much more in that.
So, unfortunately, you know, it's okay. This is like, I can get things off my chest in this, right? We could do this. That's what we're here for.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, what happens is that we teach our children how to daven as they would to read a book, because we're teaching them how to read. And that, how do you teach somebody how to do things? Siddur is a book. And Mary Poppins is a book. So, Mimela, as you read it, so read the Siddur. Okay, very good. But it never graduates to the next level. That a person, the people who we have in the later grades or in high schools, are not teaching davening because they don't know themselves how to teach davening. And as such, forever and ever, we're reading the Siddur like babies, like children. The whole exercise in davening is how we learned how to daven when we were in second grade, third grade, fourth grade. When do we ever have another lesson on how to daven? Where do we be like, okay, now what? Now that I know how to read it like an English book, how do I read it like a Torah book? How do I read this like a neshama reads? It's not like, it calls mind that if we ever see, and this is a klal, that the way that we do things in Kedusha is the same way that we do things in the Chol, it's an automatic reisa that we're not doing it right. Because that means that we're doing it the way the guf does and not the way the neshama does. It's a reisa. Even if the way that we learn. If the way that we pick up an English book is the same way we pick up a Gemara, then there's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that.
I think he summed up the whole issue of chinuch in general now.
Pre-John, no one's stopping you here. Just keep on going. It's like when Rebbe gets up there and drops his gloves, everyone's like, just keep on going. No one's stopping
you. That was the mission statement of this Kalbura. That's literally the mission statement. If you're doing the same thing you were doing when you were in kindergarten, the same way you're doing it in Chitzonius, it's not it.
Yeah. And that's why people are complaining about davening, and they can't get people to focus on davening because they're like, how many
adults?
This is Kleinigkeit. This is like, how am I supposed to do that? They're basically what they're doing by talking to daven, screaming to the daven, say, teach me how to daven like a neshama daven. That's really what it is. But the Rav doesn't hear that. He says, no, we're still in kindergarten. Everybody has to be quiet. Everybody has to look in the Siddur. Everybody has to pay attention. Shah, shah, shah. Really, the reason why they're doing that is because you're not teaching them how to daven. So that's why it's tainus to you. So it's your problem. Why are they giving you such a headache? Because you're responsible for it. Because you never taught them how to daven. So yeah, it is your problem because you're leaving them like this. Teach him how to daven. That's what the Rebbe is supposed to do. Don't tell them drushas about a diuk in the Ramban, ala parsha, this and that. That's what they came to hear. They're coming to daven. So teach them how to daven. So don't. It's not on them. It's on you. Sorry, Chavim.
I want you to keep going. I'm not saying anything.
I'm quiet for a reason here. I want just let this flow.
The bell's almost about to ring.
Before the bell rings, just let this go. Because it's true.
Yeah. Same is true with learning. Same is true with learning also. Josh, you're about to say something? No?
So many things.
Yeah. So many things?
Josh is just gearing up.
Same thing is true with learning. Why aren't people learning? I scared away Seth now. Why aren't people learning? People aren't learning because they're looking for more. They're not learning. It's a silent complaint. It's a silent complaint that they know, that the neshama knows that there's more out there. Looking for, it's a silent complaint. That's what it is.
And on the parsha, like it's a fairy tale. Like it's all shot, and it's all everything is, you know, the guy took two animals each into a boat, and they see the
insects. Can't learn the parsha the way that we learned it as children. An adam is a hoylich. He always has to be moving forward. Moving forward means moving deeper. If today we understand the ma'isa of Mechiras Yosef, which you're going to read, the same as we understood it, as we were. Fourth grade. That's how we understand it. Something wrong with that. Sorry. Even if we understood it the way we said it last year, every year we should look at Mechiras Yosef and be like, this is another opportunity to understand Yehuda and Yosef. What is going on? How could it be? These are giants. Unfortunately, people were never even taught that these were not normal people. These were neshamas. These were people who were Malachi Hashem. If we don't give them the chashivus they deserve, then of course we're going to read it very superficially. Because what are we supposed to expect? My name is also Yehuda. His name in the Torah is Yehuda. Okay, so he's probably just like me. We don't understand that these people were dealing with on so many levels. Halavai should understand this year, maybe just even one cheshbin that Yehuda had when he sold Yosef.
Bani Yasdaiti, I think this is the problem. As good as the enemy of great.
if you know it a little bit, you think you know it. We really think that the whole mice of Yosef and Potiphar was like, he's a 17-year-old guy. Like, because it seems like it. So there's something. As soon as you get something, in today's day and age, you're going way too fast. You have to have real patience. That means you can't do the daf and mishnah ziyomi, and you can't do 40 things before you get home that day. You have to really be able to sit in front of two psukim and be like, if all I do today is two psukim, like, that's patience. That it's, I'm saying it out on top of the derech and limud. It comes from a structural deficiency in our culture, which is there is zero patience. If I'm 25 and I didn't finish shas, there's something wrong with me.
No, but what about in the earlier years? Let's say before a guy's 25 years old. Before a guy's 25 years old. But there are so many years before he's 25 that when he was 13, 14, 15, even as a kid, there's no tahalich, meaning that we teach the children like the basic what happened in the parsha, and then after that, like, you know, we're on. I don't mean just parsha. I mean like davening. We only focus on like how to learn a Gemara, and that. But again, that's a very Goyesha exercise, how we teach that, although there's a way to learn a Gemara, which is like you can't, it's a Yiddish way, which you couldn't learn a book any other way, which is already, it's already a Yiddish way of doing it. But the pshimius of, there's so much pshimius which never evolves, even before a person's 25 years old, what happened there?
I believe this, the mentality, and I could be wrong, is just fill him up.
With what?
With Torah.
Yeah. If you're coming to explain what they're doing.
Kids, yeah, I think, but the concept is get them to understand how to learn. And the challenge of getting a kid to understand and want to learn is so hard. If we could just do that, we learn.
Right, because we're hoping that the intellectual, this is what they're hoping. It's much more than that, by the way, because there's a concept called the Ma'or Shatar Machsir Lamuta, meaning that even then, there's a Ma'or in Torah that we hope they become exposed to.
Yeah.
But we're kind of banking on the fact that they'll be intellectually stimulated by Torah. And the fact that Hashem made Torah intellectually stimulating, which is a big bracha, that'll hopefully be an impetus so that they'll continue on their rate in Avodas Hashem and have a good high school experience and have a good Eretz Yisrael experience and then stay from the rest of their lives. Right?
How to do that with the body in your pocket?
Yeah, it's very hard. It's becoming more and more challenging.
I think the greater question is on us, because when you're past that world of being a bachar, when you're Mitzvah Hashem Zoche and you're settling down and you get a little bit more experience and you're looking back and you're able to have these chaburut. I think the greatest taina is on us. Because we're right now, on myself. Because there's a certain pressure to accomplish in Torah and to know more and to be misgaber on the amount. And if you take that and you balance it with other responsibilities, and then you really don't have a lot of time. And if you don't have a lot of time, there's no way you're going deep. And that's where everything else falls by the wayside. What I'm getting at here is that I think the beginning of the fix, which is if we decide that you're right, it won't matter because we're still going 95 miles an hour in a car. And until we're okay with slowing down, that's what we can't daven for. We can't daven not only because we don't understand. We can't daven because we can't slow down to daven. Until we finally get to a place and say, whoa. It doesn't matter how much I know. It matters how deep I can go. But that's a totally different paradigm shift in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, it's going to be hard to,
mm-hmm.
you know, take a stroll if you're running.
True.
It means there's no place to go. And this is a paradigm in Pnimius Chitzonis. In Chitzonis, there's a place to go. In Pnimius, there's right. no place to go. Pnimius, the place to go is in.
Right.
In Chitzonis, the place to go is there.
Right.
So you can finish this and finish this and Messiah. You can do stuff.
Right.
But you can't do that in Pnimius. You can't even get anywhere in Pnimius, right? Because really, Pnimius is a gift.
I think it would be a different place. Like,
no, but you can learn. No, I mean, like, Pnimius
is a gift. It's not even like you can learn Pnimius and then get it. It's not even you can take, like, you can open up like a Zohar and be like, okay, if I do the Zohar every single day for the next time, then I'm going to, like, no. At some point, the Abish has to give you Pnimius.
That's true, but even before that, let's say it doesn't have to give me Kedusha Slavi. I mean, of course, deeper levels of Kedusha Slavi, but we don't even take one step forward, which wouldn't even be considered a gift, even. I mean, it's on the paper. The Kedusha Slavi is a gift.
Right.
That's a gift.
But you have to be able to, like, really, I think, to really get this mahalach, it begins with our ability to say, I'm going to daven over Kedusha Slavi for an hour. and I'm going to sit with a couple of lines, and I'll be okay, because I want to understand it. I'm not going to let the story of Yosef just go by during Shnayim Mikra while I'm on the train or in my house. I'm going to sit and let the story of Yosef and Mechuz Yosef, I need to sit on it a little bit. I need to first begin to put it into my head and to be like, come on, is that for real? And then delve it, like, meaning like it's like with our wives or with our families. It's not just like you can talk 100 miles an hour. You have to. That's the underlying generator to the ability to sit on top and go, I want to daven better. If it doesn't rest in the canister of, I am willing to go slower, then it's just more chitzonius.
I was more focused on the Rabbanim and the Rebbe's. First of all, I'm not blaming anybody, because the real problem with all this is the Umas Olam. Every time they cause us so many tzaras that we forget, you know, how to do things. I'm not blaming any Yid Chalila V'chas. It's just, you know, that's what the Sir LaZazel is. Sir LaZazel is that when it comes to Yom Kippur, which is after Hashanah, you really want to take stock and to know whose fault everything is. Right? Why do we have so many issues as Klai Yisrael? Take all of them, you put on the Sir LaZazel and say it's all because of Esau, not because of us. I'm not blaming anybody, Chas V'Shalom. But I will say, though, that if you have... You're talking about somebody who already knows that there's something called Pnimius. And you're saying to this person, you're saying, listen, don't go so quickly. Don't go so quickly to try to go to cover so much ground. You know, try to go deeper into the Inyan. Focus on one thing, and try to get deeper and make that a project, as opposed to like using the time which you have to try to see the world of Torah, to go into the Kishkas of Torah. Absolutely. I'm saying, but to the people who know, if you're in a room of people who don't know, you got it. They're waiting for people to open up their eyes to the fact that there is even something like that. Meaning, people who are in their 40s, 50s, who are davening and learning the way that they're doing, is because they never had somebody get up in front and to say to them, Rabbeisai, you know, have a taste of this. Have a taste of this delicious, pnimius, juicy understanding of Mechiras Yosef. And it just takes that one word, and you're like, boom, whoa. I never knew that I can see something like that before. And when that happens, you set up a bomb in that person's life where he's like, oh wow, if that's like that, then he's going to look for it more and try to do. We're waiting for people in positions who have their influence. And it doesn't mean somebody. I'm not talking about just a rav or a rebbe. We all have people who we have that influence on. To say something to a person where it's one thing where they're like, I never knew Torah could talk like that. I never knew davening could be like that. I never knew that, and that's why going to a tzaddik is so big, because even if you don't understand what the tzaddik is, when you look at the tzaddik, you're like, I never knew you could shake a lulav like that. I never knew this is the way. You can't even explain it. I never knew a mitzvah could be done like that. There's certain people, there's certain teachings that they're bombs, and they set off certain bombs in people's lives, and people can go 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and because there are so few, that they're listening to the same rhetoric, and there's no depth to the Yiddishkeit, because nobody's told them anything deep.
Experience with some people where try to expose them to some pnimius. Maybe it was the wrong safer, maybe it was the wrong topic, but there was a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lot of resistance.
It's built in.
What safer?
Some of it's built in.
Mm-hmm. Which safer?
Yeah.
The Yom Dar Kecha. They thought it was crazy stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They thought it was crazy.
This topic of bringing out the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it has to be. There's a mahalach though.
What?
He couldn't sit there.
Yeah.
He's not doing this.
You know, there is a seder to do it. I can understand why somebody would be so, because you're giving them something which is very deep and avodah which is beyond them. But there's certain, like the parsha is a very good pesach into that, because it's not machayv and avodah, and it's like, it's just a different outlook on something, which if it's based on Gemara.
Also, have to realize that when you do it, you have to realize that. I had this story once where I was all charged up and I was like rocking, and I spoke in some neighborhood thing, and I spoke about, I don't know what, but they rocked me.
Reboy.
Two people just sat the whole time and rocked me. Prove it. Like, or Ein Sof, like, prove it. I was shaking. It was intense. Everyone else was just sitting and watching these two guys go after me. You have to understand something. For some people, imagine as if you wake up one morning, you walk into the shul, and someone hands you a different sitter and goes, you know, wait, you didn't know there was a fourth of? No. Wait, you thought it was Avram Zeg and Yaakov? Oh my gosh, are you out of your... Really? And you're like, I'm from Jew. I don't know if it's like your brain, it's a cognitive dissonance that you can't describe. For some people, to spend a life being from and being mesiris nefesh for frumkite and for Torah, like for Torah, being mesiris nefesh for Torah, to find out that there's an entire yam of Torah that they never heard of before, that they have no background in, that they have no clue about, for some people, if it's done too harshly, it's such a cognitive dissonance that it could be a shvira for them. I'm not saying that this case here, but you have to be sensitive to it. That it's I know Rebbeim that are like, forget it, because can you imagine being a Rav and then having a student walk up to you and saying, can I ask you a question? Can you explain to me Yisrael to Abba? And the rabbi's like, excuse me? It's like, what, you don't know Yisrael to Abba? You're sitting in front of the thing. You're giving over Shir Kivike Eger. I'm sure you know you saw the Abba. And the rabbi's like, ah. Not every Rav, but right. Can you imagine what it must be like for the Rav right. to be the not, I'm not saying Alzgaiva. I'm saying as being a human being. Right. It means he was Makabal from his Rav. This
There's
is
no
it.
There's no Gaiva nowadays, don't worry.
What?
There's no Gaiva.
There's no Gaiva. Right? But you understand? So you have to be very careful with it, because otherwise, it's a Shvira. So you have to give it, very, like you said, like the Rav's saying, like, Parsha is slowly come up with it. When it's delivered, I don't know how to do it, but it has to be done like, you know what you know? Let me take it one step further. Otherwise, it could be really, really, look at Josh.
Wow.
That's serious. Are we gonna find out?
This is a really big deal for us.